Yaakov fought with the Malach of Esav. Then the morning, Vayishal Yaakov, Vayoyma Hagira Noshmecha. Yaakov asked, please tell me your name. Vayoyma, he says to him, Loma Zatishal Ishmi. Why do you ask me my name? And there's an obvious question one can ask over here. Imagine you're on a plane, and you sit next to somebody for a 6-hour flight, and you're schmoozing with the person next to you. And when you arrive, just before arrival, you turn to the person and say, oh, by the way, what's your name? The person might say to you, I don't want to say my name. It's unlikely he would say that. It's a possibility he would say, I don't want to say my name. He certainly isn't going to say to you, why do you ask? It's a perfectly reasonable question to ask somebody his name you've been schmoozing to all night. Over here, you had Yaakov fighting a malach all night. You want to know who you're fighting. So he turns to me and says, what is your name? And the malach says to him, Loma Zatishal Ishmi, why do you ask my name? The malach should have said, I don't want to say my name. What does he mean, why do you ask me my name? Another simple question is that the Nachash told Chava, you know why the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want you to eat from the tree? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam, he ate from that tree, and that gave the Ribbono Shel Olam the seichel to create the world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want competition. He doesn't want you to eat from the tree. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chava could have asked a very simple question. Chava could have asked, who made the tree? And if Chava would have asked, who made the tree? The Nachash wouldn't have had an answer. There never would have been a chet. Why didn't Chava's a smart lady, why didn't she think of that question at all? So in order to answer these questions, you have to understand how the Yetzirah works. We look at the Yetzirah as a being who's very smart, with a very easy job to do. Afterwards you see how many wins he has, the Yetzirah. But the truth is, the Yetzirah was given a very difficult job. Because who in his right mind would ever do a chet knowing that the Ribbono Shel Olam controls your life, and whatever you think you're going to gain by doing the chet, the Ribbono Shel Olam can just take it away from you instantly and can punish you so badly that you've got to be crazy to do a chet or to do mitzvahs, not to do a mitzvah. The schar you're going to get for it. How could a person ever do a chet or not do a mitzvah? But pshat is, we don't think straight at all. He has to convince us somehow. How does he work? So we see a Gemara in Adorim, Daf Lamed Beis. The Gemara says, Irk Tana, there's a city, a small city, there's a Pasuk Keles, Vanoshim Bomat, there's a few people in the city. And the Gemara explains, the Irk Tana, that's the guf, that's your person. There's a few people in it, that's your limbs. Obole Melach Gadol, the Pasuk continues, a big king comes, and surrounds, that's the Gate Sahara. Obonole Metzuri, builds traps and fortresses. And this Nebuch person comes along, and Nebuchul comes along, and the Chochem, and that's the Yetzer Tov. Omaritu is the ear, he saves the city. Bechachmosei with his wisdom. That's Tshuva Maisim Tovim. The Odom and the person, Loizacher is Isha Miskein. And the person never remembers again this person who saved him. This Gemara is very cryptic, very hard to understand. The Pasuk is saying, which means the Yetzer comes, with a big army. And it sounds like to fight against what? An Iruk Tana. Imagine you've got a little village called Wesley Hills. And you have the American army sending their stealth bombers, etc., to defeat Wesley Hills. Some sugar. You don't need a huge army to defeat a little village. So why does it say you've got an Iruk Tana and the Yitzhar is coming, surrounding the city with fortresses and traps? What's the pshat? Then it says, it doesn't say anywhere that he entered the city. Why doesn't he go into the city? Then the Pasuk says that the Chochem comes, and Nebuchadnezzar, and he saves the city. Doesn't say he had any weapons. He had no weapons. And somehow he beat this huge army. How did he beat the army? And then he says, and nobody remembers how he won. Next time you can't use the same tactics. Why not? What's pshat in this Gemara? Shreb Shalom Shvadron explains it. The Yetzirah does not have any real weapons at all. Because it's all fantasy, it's all bluff. He makes you think it's going to be something unbelievable. He gives a mashal of Shlomo Shvaron. He was once in England, and they schlepped him, he said, to Madame Tussauds. He didn't want to go. They schlepped him along, and he said, maybe he'll get something for his drashas. And he saw people going over to a policeman, and they would talk to the policeman. Then they would start laughing and walk away. And he saw different people doing this. And finally, Chabt, it wasn't a policeman. It was a wax model of a policeman. People thought it was real, would go over to the policeman to ask directions. So he said now he understood Pshat in the Gemara. Well, the Yetzara comes, and he has this huge army. You know why he has a huge army? Because he doesn't have any weapons he can beat you with. He has wax models. It's fake. It's fantasy. It's bluff. So he surrounds you and tries to force you into submission without you realizing that there's no real weapon. He has no real reason you should do the chet. But he does this huge attack against you. But he's not actually attacking. You should right away surrender. Now, it says he doesn't say he entered the city. He can't enter the city. He has nothing to enter with. The Chacham comes along as a Nebuchal, the Chacham. And he beats him. How? No weapons. He doesn't need weapons. All he has to do is show you it's bluff, it's fantasy. And then he wins. But next time you can't use the same tactics because the Yetzirah comes with a different fantasy, a different bluff. The Yetzirah's job is you shouldn't think. Don't ask questions at all because you think you'll see it's bluff. There was a person who had never been to the big city in his life. He was a Muncie boy, never went to New York. And he's on his farm and he wants to bring something back to the farms he lives on to show the people. So he thinks of bringing back some fine china for them. They've never seen fine china. He says, "Now, fine china, a bunch of farmers, what use do they have from it?" Then he thinks, maybe I'll bring a radio. So radio, they'll listen too much, they won't work. And then he has a wonderful idea. He buys a huge flashlight. They've never seen a flashlight, the biggest one he can get. He's on his way home, and he sees a line of people. He says, "What are you waiting for?" He said, "We're waiting to see a movie." And he was like any of you over here, he asks, "What's the movie?" So he says, "You buy a ticket." He says, "Wait in line, you'll see." So he buys a ticket, gets in line. And of course, none of you know what that is. So you go into a room, and a couple of hundred people sit down there in the room. You can imagine, you know, just an empty room. And it's an auditorium, and there's a big white screen. You know, picture it, you know what I mean. I don't know if you know what I mean by a screen. And he says, like, "I don't see anything." And they say, "Wait a minute, wait, you'll see." And he's sitting there waiting. And all of a sudden, the movie starts, and there's music, and there's people on horses, and shooting, and blood, and exciting, a battle going on. He's never seen like it. It's unbelievable, geschmack exciting. Then he thinks to himself, "It's so dark in here. It must be a little lighter. It'd be so much more geschmack." So he takes out his big flashlight he just bought, and he shines it on the screen. And of course, the whole picture disintegrates. Why? Because it's not really there. It's a bluff. It's a baloney. That's where the Yetzirah comes. He comes to you with this bluff, this baloney. You shine the light and you see there's nothing there at all. That is what we have to do. But I'll give you another moshul. There was a person traveling on the red eye from LA to New York. Red eye is you travel overnight. It's called red eye because you come there looking tired because the point is to start business right away the next morning as soon as you arrive. People try and sleep. No movies. Point is just to let people sleep. So this Yid is there, is trying to sleep, and he's having a hard time falling asleep. So he decides, what else should a Yid do if he can't sleep? He'll eat something, because Yid always go with enough food for 3 weeks when they travel. And he's about to eat, and he realizes his yarmulke is missing. And he starts looking here, looking there. He can't find his yarmulke. He doesn't know, where is it? And finally, he thinks, maybe it fell to the seat behind. He climbs up on his seat, he looks behind him, and he sees, oh, Rebbeinu Shloim, lying across there, three seats is a lady, and his yarmulke is like this, on her face. And he doesn't know what to do now. No, he's going to leave the yarmulke there. He's going to leave. He needs it. He wants to eat. On the other hand, what he's going to do, he can get arrested. He'll go leaning over the lady there. He doesn't know what to do. He's thinking back and forth. And he decides, you know, it's not nice she should wake up with this smelly yarmulke on her face. He's going to get it. So he looks around very carefully. Nobody's watching. Stealthily, he leans over. He's about to take the yarmulke. And just before he took it, an ace happened. Either there was a flash of lightning or a door opened, a bathroom door, there was a crack of light. And he sees it's not his yarmulke. It's one of those rubber band things you put around your eyes. And if you would have pulled it, it would have gone wham, back in her face. So in other words, the Yetzirah sometimes makes you see things. You think you're seeing something, but it's not what you think it is. And if you follow the Yetzirah of the Yetzirah, you're going to get yourself into big trouble. You've got to be very careful. So over here, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the job of the Yetzirah is to make sure you don't ask questions at all. When Yaakov was fighting the Yetzirah. He asked the Yetzirah, "What's your name?" And Malach's name is his job, whatever his job is. He says, "You know what my job is? My job is Lomatishishmi. Why you ask me questions? That was his name. Don't ask me any questions at all. That was the name of the Yetzer Hara. And that is why we can have questions. We don't understand why didn't Chava ask a question, who created the tree? That's because the Yetzer Hara is not attacking us. But when the Yetzer Hara comes, person's mind goes fuzzy, builds up this fantasy, and we don't think straight at all. A person wants to do a chet, and they can't think rationally. I was once giving shir, and somebody came in, and he spoke to the boys about going to movies. There's obviously an incident, they'd gone to some movies, and he told me a whole drasha why they shouldn't go to a movie. And after it was over, one of the bachrim, he came to me with a shaila. If I write a shaila, the tshuva save, I guess I could put in the shaila and the tshuva over here. His shaila was, what should I do if my grandparents want to take me to a movie? Like, I don't want to upset them. So I'm saying, let me get this clear. They ask you, they want you to take you to a movie. And Nebuch, you don't want to go because Chas V'Sham is a terrible thing in moving. You understand that. But you're wondering, should you be Moisa Nefesh and push away all your personal feelings about not wanting to go and sacrifice your feelings to go and make your grandparents feel good? That's what you're asking me? And I think he understood what I was telling him. Rav Shlomo Shvadron says that one time, a friend of his, together with him, they made a Kabbalah not to eat Tnuva product. So that time's a Chil Shabbos. So al Chumra, they won't eat anything from Tnuva. He says in his house, supper every night was bread and coffee, and if anything else was there, it was a yontif. One night his mother comes home, and she brings home cheese supper. Tnuva cheese. He gets very excited about the cheese, and then he realizes it's Tnuva. And his Mekabel is not going to eat Tnuva. But now, right away, he says, his Yetzer Hara came. And the Yetzer Hara says to him, you're not going to eat it? What's going to happen to that cheese? Bal Tashchis. Bal Tashchis is a deraisa. It's just a chumra. You don't want to eat a tenuva. This is a deraisa. You have to eat the cheese. And then the Yetzer Tov said, no. Then the Yetzer Hara came and said, Kibudave, a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Your mother's asking, you have to eat the cheese. And again the Yetzer Tov said, no. Yetzer Hara came another time. And the Yetzer Hara says to him, your mother's an almona. To mitzvah cause pain to almona. There's no bigger chet than that. You have to eat the cheese. And he says, finally, he took the cheese, he locked it up somewhere, and he refused to eat it. He says, his mother came home, and now she's going to be all upset and eat the cheese. And she says, oh, where's the cheese? He says, I wasn't interested in cheese. Oh, okay, no problem, I'll eat it. And he realized all those Yetzer Haras, it was nothing. How you tell it's the Yetzer Hara is, if he comes to you with 10 reasons. If there's 10 reasons why you should do something, then you know there's something fishy about it. Because the Yetzer Tov doesn't have to give 10 reasons. One reason's enough. One word, no. 10 reasons telling you yes, you know you have to worry. I remember when I was thinking of leaving Geist Yeshiva, so I went to speak to Mashkiach, Rav Matzior Solomon. So I told him 6 reasons why I would like to go now to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Matzior said to me, I don't like this idea of a wind blowing you across the ocean. Either you have a reason or you don't have a reason. 6 reasons don't add up together at Mitzarev to make a reason. Go through, is one of those a reason or not a reason? And that is what the Yetzer does. He tries to add different ideas and lomdas to make a person do a chet. Okay, there's a fascinating medrash in this week's parasha, where the parasha says, the pasuk says, Vayetze chamor av Yishchem el Yaakov ledabar itoy. Chamor, the father of Shechem, spoke to Yaakov. Since comments the medrash Tanchuma. Omar chamor. Avraham, your Zeda, was a Nossi. Nasi Elikimat of Yisrechenu, they said. I'm a Nossi. So it makes sense. Your daughter should marry my son. Yaakov said to him, yeah, my Zeda was a Shoyer. Vel Abokarot Avraham. You're a Chamoyer. And it says, Loisachresh B'Shoyer V'Chamor Yachtov. You can't join a Shoyer and a Chamoyer together. So obviously, this Medrash is very difficult to understand. What's Pshat in the Medrash? So, I don't know if we'll have time for the Ksav Soif for now. I'll tell you a different pshat that I once heard. That the difference between a chamor and shoyer is like this. A shoyer plows the field. You plant the crops. Till you get benefit of the work of a shoyer is a long time. A lot of work and pain has to go through until you actually get pleasure from what the ox did. A chamor, on the other hand, carries people, carries packages. Right away you get pleasure from it. You get what you need, you get the benefit. A yid realizes that in life, there's no such thing as instant gratification. If you want success in life, you have to put in koiches. You got to work on it, and eventually you'll see the payers, you'll get the benefit. When you raise a child, it's not easy to make a mensch out of a kid. It's not easy. Ask your parents. They have to put in a tremendous amount of effort and spend a lot of money as well on your tuitions and a lot of suffering at PTAs until eventually they make a mensch out of you. We hope. A goy doesn't understand that at all. A goy wants instantly everything. To give you a moshel of Adav Adayim, there was a yid, came from Russia, and he'd never seen a supermarket before. He was used to, in the Soviet Union, you stand in line to buy 6 tomatoes, and then the store, they got 3 other products. By the time you 6,009, everything's sold out. He comes to a supermarket, has never seen anything like it. Aisles and aisles of food. And he's never seen the types of food. So he asks his cousin there, what is this, instant coffee? So he explains, instant coffee is you put some coffee in the cup, you pour water and you have coffee. So, wow, we have to take beans, we have to grind them up. It's unbelievable. Then he sees instant mashed potato. He says, what is this? As you pour some water in with powder, you have mashed potatoes. Potatoes? Peeled potatoes cooked. And then he sees powdered milk. Don't tell me. He says, yeah, you pour in water, you get milk. We have to milk cows to get milk. It's amazing what you have here. And all of a sudden he hears the guy screaming. His friend hears him screaming. He goes, wondering, what is it? And this Russian pulls out, he holds up this thing. He says, look at this. He says, what? Baby powder. To make a mensch is not instant. Being a mensch is a lot of hard work to produce a mensch out of somebody. So Yaakov is telling Chamor that we are a shoyer. We understand what it means to produce a child, to raise a child. We understand in life as well, we have an outlook to life. Our values are not to look for instant gratification. You're a chamor. You're always looking for instant gratification. You cannot join together a shoyer and chamor. Okay, Shabbos.